would like to show now. And if when it goes up, let me know and I'll sort of take you through it. Do we have that? It starts with the 12th of June when Julian Assange announced that he had emails pertaining to Hillary Clinton. Well, suffice it to say that on the 14th, there it is. On the 14th, you can see what happened. CrowdStrike, that crackerjack outfit that James Comey of the FBI bowed to and said, you can do this forensics if you like. We don't want to do the forensics. That's something really to look at. They decided that it had been, there had been penetrated by Russians. And then, next day, 15th of June, this Guccifer 2.0 arises out of the ashes and says, yep, CrowdStrike is right. We did it, and we gave it to Julian Assange. Okay, guys, you want to believe that? I got a bridge where I used to live up there in Brooklyn. I'd like to sell you, all right? So that's how that thing all evolved, how they launched this major diversion activity. They were going to pin it when Julian Assange released those things, which, as we know, were released on July 22nd, 3 days before the convention. They were ready with their full-bore propaganda campaign, full cooperation from the Times, the Washington Post, everyone, okay, saying, ha-ha, why'd the Russians do that? Why'd the Russians do that? Why'd the Russians do it? Well, unfortunately, it didn't work. And they didn't stop. They kept trying to use this not only to show, as James Clapper, the head, the super, the imperial wizard of the intelligence community, right? Okay, he said in this book that he just put out that the Russians gave the election to Trump. Now, there are hard things to accuse people of, but I don't think. Personally, I think that's about the worst thing anyone can accuse anybody of giving the election to Trump. Not only, it's pretty bad, I guess it's good that it's not true.
Totally forget his name.
Listened to Ray McGovern. He's going to be at the Correct Auditorium on September 30th at 1 p.m.
I think I'm right in recalling that every one of his second-year chemistry students could make Novichok and had done
this
so.
This is about
theoretically, of course, not in practice. They had done so theoretically.
I'll get back
so
to you on.
The notion that only a state could have produced Novichok is complete rubbish. Any second-year chemistry student at Cornell, and he said at any university, could have done that. So that means it wasn't necessarily a state product, and it certainly means that it was not necessarily a Russian state product. Secondly, if there was Novichok in their hotel room, why were they themselves not affected by it? If they had it in their hotel room, and if it was, say, in a canister or receptacle that was leaking, as presumably it must have been, how were they not affected? Whatever else they looked on television yesterday, they didn't look like people stricken by Novichok. And there are many others. The first responder to the Skripals on the park bench who tried to bring them back from almost the dead. She, for it was a she, but she's never been named, she was not affected either. When did D.S. Bailey get infected? He couldn't have got infected from the doorknob because the timeline now makes it clear that it was never on the doorknob. And he had no contact with the Skripals, but he must have been in the house. By the way, it can't have been on the doorknob for another reason. There was a copper, usually a policewoman, stood outside at the doorknob for weeks after the event, unaffected, not even so much as a pair of rubber washing-up gloves on. But he could have been in the house, presumably was in the house, and that's where he could have got infected. Who benefits? The war industry benefits. Those that want a continuation of tension and maybe worse with Russia They're the ones who benefit. Out of the Dust says, why should we believe they really found Novichok in the hotel room? As your previous message said, our government lies to us every day on Syria. Well, if it was the government saying the Novichok was found in the hotel room, I wouldn't believe them. But then I wouldn't believe the government if they told me today was Friday. I'd have to check the newspaper to find out. But it's the police that are saying it. It's Commander Neil Basu, the head of the anti-terrorism squad, that told us. So I'm inclined to believe him. That's just me. Now, let's see.
Now, we will point out that the police know how to use a gun, okay? They have an IQ cap. The discussion of cholinergic agents requires some scientific background because both BZ that you're about to be told about and organophosphates like sarin and metasistox, that's the one that they were hiring contracts to go pick pine cones for silviculture, planting conifer lumber, and they poisoned the tree for the bugs. And then you got to deal with this. So if you happen to get it ingested somehow, like eating the nuts and pine nuts, if you kind of forget or get hungry, or maybe eat a squirrel that ate the nuts, then you got all this organophosphate that jams your vegetative system in the on position. They're both cholinergic agents. It's the vegetative neurotransmitter, acetylcholine, as in choline, the amino acid, but...
Paul Booker. That's a good question, Paul. I'm confused, he says, as to why the ZZ restaurant in Salisbury, where the Scripples ate, has been permanently closed. The Scripples' house has been purchased on our behalf and decontaminated, yet the hotel that the two suspects stayed in remained open to guests. Andrew Black said, the BBC's main item is the USA storms. Well, they do seem pretty severe, I must say. Andrew goes on, nothing on the BBC about the prison situation. They're keeping it low-key, quite so. And Peter in Glasgow says, not only was it Laurel and Hardy who did it, the Keystone Cops are trying to catch them. Very good. And Alan Dart says, if there was poison in the room of the lodge, B&B, then surely we'd be looking for dead agents as the container was leaking. Yeah, point I've just made. It could have been on their clothes, I suppose, after their Saturday or the Friday visit to Salisbury. They could have come in contact with someone who had been in contact with the Novichok, the Scripples, or somebody else. All of this is speculation. Lars Svensson says, I'm struggling to find a way that two Russians could have acted less professionally. Travelling together, national carrier, no detours, genuine identities, no proper legend. If these blokes are trained agents, then I'm Mikhail Mouse. That is the tweet of the evening from Lars Svensson. And Dr. Fath, URS, says, George, I'm totally naive regarding courtroom procedure, forensic, witness statements, etc. But if the Old Bailey holds trials in any way whatsoever along the lines of this government's evidence, then God help us all, especially the innocent. Well, the Birmingham Six and the Guildford Four found that out. And finally, before the break, Bob Justice says the interview of two presumed Russian agents has been slated by the MSM. For me, it had similar qualities to Yulia's interview in Alice in Wonderland's Garden. If charges had been prepared, is there a legal barrier to Yulia publicly confirming their involvement? That's a good question. Why can't we hear from Yulia again? Why can't we hear from Sergei? From Iran is on the line now. Majid, welcome to the show, our very first ever Iranian caller.
Hello, Mr. George Galloway. I'm very happy to talk to you on Talk Radio. And
fantastic.
And we have missed you, actually, on Press TV.
Yes, yes. I did that for many years, but it's been some time now.
Yes, of course. It was quite an interesting
experience for me to listen to you on
at Press TV.
Yeah. Now, what would you like to talk about this evening?
Mr. Galloway, I'd like to talk about Syria and this new scenario. The fact is that the war in Syria is almost finished. You see that these head-chopping fanatics, as you've always said, ISIS, have been killing thousands of people in Syria. And now this scenario is almost finished. But unfortunately, we see that America, the U.S., is going to reignite this war yet again. Because here we see that the Syrian people have won this war. And we are seeing that peace and solace is coming back to the Syrian people. As you said, 500,000 people were murdered. You see, let me give you an example. We have got a lot of these people. Just a year ago, an Iranian soldier who was fighting ISIS, these head-chopping fanatic extremists, he was fighting ISIS, but they caught him. They cut his throat. They harshly, brutally killed him, and they didn't. And they did cut his body into pieces. So, after a lot of these catastrophic events in Syria, we are seeing that, unfortunately, America. Some people who do support these fanatics because of Israel, because you see, we see that it is important for Israel and its allies that this war continues in Syria, and they want this war. Be continued.
Well, I think it's much more to do with Saudi Arabia than it is with Israel, because if ISIS and Al-Qaeda had been able to hoist their black flag in Damascus, I can't imagine what solace that would give the self-declared Jewish state next door, the very next door. Saudi Arabia is the number one international financier and armorer.
Yes, indeed, because as you see that Saudi Arabia, I don't understand what type of Islam do they care about, because they are killing Muslim civilians, children, women and children in Yemen daily, on a daily basis. And just recently they've killed a lot of people in Yemen. They're bombing Yemen. Civilians, women and children, and as you said, yes, Saudi Arabia is as you said, number one, which is...
It's the number one culprit. My blood was boiling as I was listening to you, and I hope that the listeners properly listened to what you said. And I hope the American listeners, and I hope the American people are fully cognizant of the fact that they are about to go to war in defense of ISIS and Al-Qaeda. It was the anniversary of 9/11 this week. They were all tweeting, never forget what happened on 9/11 2001.
That's so funny. I know some things aren't funny, but this is a horror show, and this is your sick and twisted host. That better to go what I wrote. So, excuse me while I type in Gmail, because I mailed it to myself this morning. loading, and then it's got to go twice. Well, we'll click the little pause here. Okay, Shades of the Outer Limits episode where the astronaut reads of unmanned probe returns after one by one the number of his companions is reduced in the newspaper headlines. Well, guess what? Okay, this is a quote. We're writing to let you know that the group you tried to contact, KPFA, may not exist, or you may not have permission to post messages to the group. From me to Kevin at kpfa.org, date September 14, 2018, 2:22 p.m. In other words, the day before the LSB meeting. Subject, guns and butter, mailed by gmail.com. But this was my message. Dear Kevin, Kevin Cartwright, I am asking, Cartwright, I think, I am asking for your courage as a peace person myself, a CO during the Vietnam War who blocked a military weapons shipment at the Concord Station last year. I wish to thank your station for having hosted Guns and Butter for 16 years, the most powerful anti-war voice diffusing lies behind the wars of the 21st century. And specifically, I wish to commend the Left Out Forum's Ray McGovern of Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity, but that's my aside, on the real election primary theft behind the Russiagate distractions. Mark Crispin Miller on the related black box election fraud, and Kevin Barrett pronouncing the truth that most Jews support the liberation of Palestine, which throws a monkey. Well, I should rephrase, the liberation, Palestinian liberation, because the people are the people, are, you know, not this entity that is not an entity, an individual, or not, which throws a monkey wrench into the West cannon fodder for the Holy Land Project, quote, started by Napoleon and Lord Balfour, and propelled by the false and impossible narratives around Al-Qaeda, Arabic for base, as in the CIA Muj Contra Army Death Squad database. The powers that be know what we might do about the actual Holocaust going on now, about which they are in, about which they have us all in denial, with well over 10 million Muslims murdered in the Pentagon's post-9/11-01 hit list countries. Under the false pretenses, our bipartisan war machine is able to perpetrate only because of media lies you've silenced our only reliable counter to. Respectfully, Greg Getty. And that is to the program director about which... Oh, well, let me go to... anyway, I will get to the Stephen Zeltzer's asking about the secret program council and the ridiculousness of the, but back to the, and I'm going to just kill that whole window so that it doesn't axe. That's fun.
An atrocity which murdered 3,000 and more American citizens and American residents, carried out by the very gang which the Americans are about to go to war to save from their final defeat in Syria. Of all the things we've ever done, this is the worst thing that we have ever done. And it astounds me, especially journalists, when they know that these people have cut the throats, cut off the heads, murdered in cold blood, journalist after journalist after journalist, that they have taken hostage. And yet these same journalists are beating the drums for Britain and America going to war on behalf of the people that murdered their colleagues. I'm speechless, Majid. Thank you for your call. John is in Newcastle. Go ahead, John.
No, you don't, because you just perpetrated that lie. Now, the biggest WMD since Nagasaki, we dropped on who? So, we dropped the biggest WMD since Nagasaki on the very people you're talking about, our allies. But if Israel were to do that, they would have the advantage of not having dropped it on their allies, even though they're doing the medical aid for them.
Right, right, right.
But that's a smaller thing than the Sauds, you know, who are just British proxies. They're proxies of your government, George Galloway, that you're always blowing smoke up. But never mind, never mind. You say it with Irish accent, so it's not so offensive. because I can tell that I'm because of my accent. But never mind. Okay, so that was a counter to that one, and then I'll get back to the other thing too. But
John.
Hello, George.
Yes, what would you like to talk about, sir?
2 seconds. I've just got you on speakerphone.
Okay.
Right, there you go. And I'm right.
Okay. All right, my friend.
Right. Basically, this election, we're not going to get one for 4 years, are we?
No, not if it goes if it goes the full whack, as informed, sensible approach to the Scripple story. I really can't fathom it out, but I never trusted a Tory government, and I won't start doing so with this shower. By the way, the professor from Cornell University, you can look back for that interview, it was very, very good, is David Collum, C-O-L-L-U-M. Tony, the protest board, says, I believe the Salisbury affair is a precursor, no pun intended, to attacks in Syria. The headlines scream Russia, chemicals. So when reliably informed that chemical weapons attacks have happened in Syria, we're supposed to nod and say, yes, Russia, chemical weapons. Very well put, Tone. Tom Jarvis says, evening, GG, has the law changed around press reporting of pending criminal trials? In the event the two Russians do present themselves to a UK court, I can imagine what the first argument their lawyers will be. How can they possibly have a fair trial? It's true, Tom, that commentary is supposed to cease when criminal charges have been laid, but that doesn't apply to Russians. Fra says, at the gym, trying to work out exactly what the latest allegations in the Scripple affair mean. I'd say trial by public opinion in the Cold War. What is the government lie on how the bottle ended up in a charity bin in Amesbury if the two men never went there? Tranahan from the United States up next on the trials and travails of the Donald Trump administration. But we'll still be talking about prisons, riots, privatization, and the travails of the Prison Officers Association. We'll still be talking about the Scripples. We'll still be talking about the Tories, about Brexit, about Labour.
But it's that because it didn't happen. And so every time the anticipation goes up, well, maybe Papadopoulos, maybe whoever he is in the campaign. But, okay, this time, his lawyer, Michael Cohen, this time they got him. No, they're getting people for peripheral crimes that had nothing to do with Trump or the election, to their great chagrin. So
not many people inside the Beltway would be able to stand up to forensic investigation of their lives before all of this happened or didn't happen. And that's what's going on here, isn't it?
Well, or in the case of Michael Cohen, for instance, that was Trump's personal lawyer. He gets his office raided. That in itself is almost unheard of. There's big lines that you're not supposed to do certain things with lawyers because of attorney-client privilege here in the United States. And then they just went through, we're going to go everything, and then we'll figure out what we will introduce into evidence or not. So just that, if you applied that same test, as you say, to people up and down K Street in Washington and just raided their attorneys, looking for material, I'm sure you'd come up with stuff. They think Russia is the target of this. I think Putin is the target of this. And I think Trump was peripheral, but that's another story. But I really think that the target of the whole supposed Trump-Russia investigation has been to continue to demonize Putin on behalf of a small group of people, Khodorkovsky, and people like Bill Browder. That's what it was clear to me is going on here. Because this operation's been going on, as I said before, since before the supposed alleged Russian hacks.
You are all remembering, as you ought, the 9/11/2001, never forget, hashtag and all that. Do the American people know that this time next week, perhaps, America will be full scale in the Syrian war on behalf of the very people that brought down the Twin Towers?
No, they...
first off, the Guns and Butter show that is being censored by Quincy McCoy and Kevin, the program, secret program manager, intern even, is Demolition Access by Kevin Ryan to the World Trade Center. So this big lie is just too much. And I just got to say that and go back because all the rest is mostly true.
They do not. You know, we talk about it on my show because we've been following the run-up to the taking of Idlib and Aleppo and ending the war, right? We talk about it. And then I look at what the media is talking about. They're simply ignoring it. If the United States, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, if you ask people in the U.S., should we be supporting the, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIS side, nobody would say yes. Nobody. We go, yeah, that's great. That's what we should do. So there's no support, so they simply ignore it. And it is the reason I always say to people, you have to listen very carefully to what the media doesn't tell you. You have to listen to the stories they're not talking about, because that's very significant. And this is a major one, and they're just avoiding it here.
Very interesting indeed, Lee. So finally, can I ask you for a prediction in November? You kind of made it that the Democrats may take the House, but they're unlikely to take the Senate. So on a scale of 1 to 10...
I think if the Democrats do take the House, it'll be a slight majority. I don't sense any other bigger wave than that. So that, I put it about a 2 on a scale of 1 to 10 for disasters.
I'm Robin Finlay back on the show. Everything is complete. He's listening. In fact, he's calling. John in New Zealand, welcome to the show.
Good morning to you. It's a lovely, beautiful, sunny morning here in Tauranga in New Zealand.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How wonderful.
I've lived here for 16 years now. It's now home for us, although ironically our daughter's just moved to London.
Oh, wow. Well, a lot of New Zealanders do move, of course, because, well, you are quite far away.
We are, but we're able to listen to talk radio.
That's amazing.
It was automatically, it was just overnight, it was thrown out. And so New Zealand, a little country of 4.5 million people, as you say, a long way away from many other countries in the world, it got on its own 2 feet and it survived. So it's not, hadn't got and still doesn't have the strong economy that Britain has. Yet this country is surviving, it's doing well, it's prospering. And I just find it amazing when I've been watching and listening to what's been happening with regard to Brexit, how it is. There seems to be a huge lack of confidence.
Speaking to you.
And you. And I promise I'll be nice to you.
On a light note, you play music on there now. I'm getting Novichok. Novichok this. Novichok
that. Yeah. It's just for shorthand. It might not be Novichok at all.
Well, exactly. Have you seen... It's been taken down now. On the OPCW website, It was BZ Agent.
No, that's one of the labs reportedly identified BZ, but the consensus in the OPCW is that it was Novichok or a related agent.
Yes, George, but of course, 3-quinucledinyl benzylate is a cholinergic agent, as is Novichok, Metacystox, organophosphate, sarin, VX, okay, and...
That was made in Russia.
Yeah.
There's no evidence whatsoever for any of this, none.
First off, they're talking about Scriple BZ. It's quinucledinyl benzylate. It's a muscarinic acetylcholine receptor antagonist, which is the opposite of acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. Of course, anybody thinks about the vegetative system being jammed in the on position, that's what pesticides do because it's going to slow you down, your heartbeat and breathing to death, okay? Now, a receptor antagonist is going to block it, just like caffeine is an adenosine receptor antagonist because it sits in the little hole, and instead of the waste product from ATP telling you it's time to go recharge your... phosphates on the adenosine molecule, it's telling you that, well, the receptor is blocked, so your vegetative system can't function, which is why it's the antidote to these things that are the acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. Anyway, get it straight, guys. Poured down, invented this crap, Christ's sake. Or they're Nazi, the Yankee, skanky Yankee spawn, the misbegotten spawn of the slime buckets up the Thames. Both the Pirates of the Thames and the Potomac were funding Hitler through Prescott Bush's Union Bank. Okay, $50 million during the Depression, building trucks in Germany, Ford trucks during the Depression, and then you're going to say, oh, we got to go, no, go east. You want to stop Hitler. That's where the fat stalker lies.
And the media is the biggest,
it's the biggest problem. I'm in no doubt about
people,
that. Peter, you're breaking up now. But thanks for a very erudite call. Frank in Rickmansworth says, George, great show, we'll have to stop listening to Dieter, who happens to be sitting on Labour front bench, on Jeremy Corbyn's front bench.
You tell me